Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, featuring August Ministry, a Bible-based program designed to shine a ray of hope for daily living and point you back to Jesus Christ. It is the desire of Pastor Demetrios and Christy Grimes that we all might be one as the Father and Son are one.
Well, we want to welcome everyone tonight to our Bible study, our New Year's Bible study. We thank God for our guests that are here with us tonight, the youth, and we're grateful for them and thankful for whoever it is that's going to join us on this evening. It's a new year, refresh, revive, and renew. And as we put the call out for this Bible study, we ask that if you had a scripture that's going to be key to this year for you, we want you to share it with us. Whatever it is, scripture that you're going to be abiding by or that's going to be like a key in your life that's going to unlock the potential that God has for you, we want you to share it with us. We don't believe in resolutions. The only resolution is Jesus Christ. And so this is our first study of the year, and we're going to discuss how to be refreshed, renewed, and revived, and anything that might be laying dormant or maybe sleeping with us, that we can use it for the glory of the Lord. And so we're going to discuss about that, the importance of using our gifts and using our talents and how we can work in the body. There's just three scriptures that I'd like to read right off the bat that the Lord had gave me last night about being renewed and refreshed and revived. The first one is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. We pray that the Lord would have a blessing on the reading of the word and have a blessing on this Bible study this evening, that everything that comes forth would be of him, for him, and by him. And we thank him for this opportunity to even be here tonight, because he didn't have to wake us up this morning and he didn't have to give us a new day, but he decided he loved us enough to do that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, To everything there is a season and a time, and to every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. This season and this time has purpose. God has not stopped with the mission that we have to do, that he sent us here to do. And the second scripture that I was coming from that the Lord laid on my heart was in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. And that's, yep, Isaiah 43, chapter 43, verse 18, 19. It says, "Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Now that 2014 is gone, we don't need to dwell on that. We dwell on today. God is doing a new thing. Each day is a new day that God has given us. And it's a new day that even though we might be going through a wilderness or a dry area in our life, he gives us that living water that we may never thirst again. And he gives us that bread of life that we never be hungry again, because he is our supplier of every need that we need. So I'm going to read it one more time, because this one really stuck out to me, and this is one that God really laid on my heart heavy. "Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Expect God to do new things. Even if it looks like things are bleak and hard and tough and rough, nothing is too hard for God. And the last one, which we all hear very often, and then I'm going to hand it back over to Pastor D. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Don't forget, God has plans for us. He's got blueprints written in heaven. Just like the architect drew out the blueprints for the houses from the basement up, God has plans for us. We just have to ask him for direction so that the house is built right and that the foundation is firm, built upon Christ. So God is doing a new thing. Each day is a new day. Tomorrow is gone, and tomorrow is not promised. But God has given us today a new day. So I just want to encourage you this moment, be refreshed, be revived, be renewed. And I'm going to hand it back over to Pastor Demetrios.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I'm excited about tonight, and I just thank God for bringing us into a new year and giving us a new fresh start, a new commitment to stay renewed in our relationship with him. And our minds renewed in him, refreshing us from the weariness of last year and all the toils and hardships we might have went through. And I thank God, you know, I thank God for his refreshing us and renewing us and reviving us to continue our walk with him. It's something that I want to go back to. There's a couple of scriptures that Pastor Christie brought out, and that first one was in Ecclesiastes. It talks about in that verse 1, to everything there is a season. I think we sometimes don't understand why things happen the way they happen. We think about this new year. There's a season for us to change, to grow, to live a life of repentance, to live a life that's called to walk worthy in the vocation in which we're called in Christ. And whatever happened last year, whatever thoughts and character flaws and whatever it was that hindered your relationship with Christ, today God wants to let you know that this is the season in which we need to establish a solid relationship with him. This is the season in which we need to commit our lives unto Christ. Without reservation. It's a scripture in Colossians 3. Everybody can turn it. Colossians chapter 3. This is going to be important about there is a season. This is important. Because to everything, there is a season. Chapter 3. Start chapter 3. Starting at 1. But there is a season for everything. Just like fall, and fall, it's your harvest time. You get sold in the summer, you get planted in the spring, and fruit coming up, and now it's time to bring forth the harvest and put it into the barnyard, and you can have it stored up for the winter. So when the hardships come, you'll be able to have enough for you to survive throughout the winter. And that's why life, God begins to plant his word into our heart. He begins to bring forth his presence to minister to our sorrows and our hurts. We may have lost loved ones. We may have been diagnosed with cancer. We may have lost jobs. People may have came up against us, such as family members. But you and I decided to commit our life to Christ. And so he desires now to plant the seeds of the word of God. And in the summertime, like anything, it's the heat. It's the rain. The storms of life come. hardships come, things try us, a tempest, to see if we're going to fall away from God or we're going to remain faithful. And so that season comes to where you're tested. You don't understand why things are going on. I lost my job. The bills are due. The children are going astray. Sickness came against family members. Death that knocked on our door. We don't understand why the winds are blowing and the rain is beating against our life. But this is the season. Because you made a commitment to say, I'm going to serve Christ. So those seeds are fired now. So when the fall rises up, now is looking for fruit. God is looking for fruit out of our lives. Do we produce the character of Christ? Do we produce the love of God? Do we produce long-suffering and kindness and goodness and all the things that deals with having the right relationships with people and a right relationship with God? And so now that season of winter is rolling up again. And each season, we're going to go through things. Each season, seeds are going to be planted. Each season, things are going to come our way. But the blessing part is, through each season, God walks with us. Through each season. And so it says in Colossians 3:1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. This is a new year, which if you're raised with Christ, then you also have to be crucified. That's a season. And if you're crucified with Christ, then you die to yourself. And the Bible teaches us that I no longer live, but it is Christ that lives within us. Therefore, when we live and go to our jobs and go to school and get educations and go amongst our family members that are not walking with Christ, now they're going to see Christ and not us. When they're pressuring you with their problems and they're cussing on the phone and they tell you what they don't do and go through and all this, hey, you can pray for them now. Now you can point them to Christ. Now you can give them some hope when they didn't have hope. But it says, if then you were risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We don't depend on earthly temporal things. The world wants to depend on when they call you ABA and all the foolishness that's going on out here in the world. They call them all kind of names. Give us all kind of diagnosis and stuff. And what are we focusing on, the world? They say you got cancer. They say you got 6 weeks to live. And they say the landlord said you only got 2 weeks left if you don't pay your bills and all these different things. If we seek those things which are above, our Heavenly Father, the one who provides our needs and everything that we have need of, breath, life, and being, our home, clothes, shelter, whatever we need, we seek those things first. This is the season that we stop relying on the temporal things of this world and we seek those things above. Because why? We're risen with Christ. Then it says, where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is the season where you hide your life in God. This is going to be an important year for us as believers in Christ, that we don't go back, as Pastor Christy read, to the former things. Don't go back to remember that stuff, what you used to be. Go back to Christ. Be resurrected with Christ. And this is going to be an important year for to be renewed, refreshed, and revived. Because some have lost the way. Some have backslid. Some have disconnected their walk with God. They don't even want to go to church no more because they've been abused and picked on and laughed at by so-called believers. But there's something that we spoke on this morning. And I'm going to open up with a question. Something we sent a video on Facebook. And it was talking about we can live free from the bondage of sin. I know 2014 was a trying year for some. It was a great year. It was a year in which God moved mightily in different ways, from car accidents to even healings in the body, to different all manner of temptations we faced. But we're still standing. We're still here. And that's the victory that we can have in Christ, knowing that this year the things that we fail, the things that we came short in, the things that we disconnected with God, now we can learn how to be renewed and be revived and be refreshed so that we can maintain a resurrected life in Christ. And so there was something, a question that Pastor Christie had about, it was a specific question that was asked on the,
what if there's a scripture that God gave you, if there's a scripture that God gave you that you'd like to share, that's going to be key. Maybe something that, a focus that God gave you just for this year, something in the scriptures that God spoke to you personally. That was my question. If you would like to share that. If there's something, we don't believe in the resolutions and all that kind of stuff, but God gave us his word as an instrument and as an instruction manual for us to use. And so I'm going to start with my scripture because maybe that'll kind of give an idea.
Well, question is for
question.
Why don't we do resolutions? Or should ask? Maybe I should answer.
No, I can answer that. Because, I mean, resolution is always, everyone makes resolutions, and 99% of the time they don't keep them. That's, I mean, a resolution is, oh, this is what I resolve to do. Well, honestly, it's not resolved until you actually do it. So resolutions are like a void promise. And that's why we stick with the word. We stick with what's scripture. And we can, the Bible tells us to live by the word, not just to be hearers, but to be a doer of the word. That's why the word has the resolution to everything we could ever need or want. So we use the word as a key. And I'm going to read to you, I read it earlier, but this is my key. This is what God gave me to focus on. So it's more of a focus rather than resolution, because my focus is Isaiah 43:18-19. It says, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past, because, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? That means, don't you see it? Don't you see that I'm doing something? That's what God is saying. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. That means no matter what we're going through right now, no matter how bad it might look, no matter what might be happening, there's that living water that's still making that stream in the wilderness of whatever's going on in our lives. So that was my scripture for me, just realizing that no matter what is going on, God is still there. And for me, that's a refresh. That helps me to revive my thought processes, to renew my heart, to renew my mind, to know that's my key for beginning this year. Forgetting everything else that happened and just pressing on towards the prize of Jesus Christ. That's my key. That's what God gave me.
Amen. You know, and I thought about something about another reason why we don't do resolutions, because resolutions deals with you having to make the change. In other words, we're trying to do something that God has already done in us. And so if God has delivered us at the cross, it's been finished once and for all at the cross, and we're trying to make a resolution like, I'm going to quit smoking. Okay, if you try to quit smoking, that's you trying to quit smoking. But if God delivered you from smoking, this is an example, then that resolution is not by your effort, but it's by the promises of God's word. See, when you start to take God's word and apply it in your life, God's word will produce the fruit that God is looking for. It will break the yoke. It will set the captives free. It will do the things that the word says it will do. That's why the word shall not return back void, but it shall accomplish in the purpose in which it was sent. It shall prosper in your life. So resolutions is something that you're trying to do outside the power of God.
Exactly.
And when you're doing that, the scripture says this, In Romans 8, as an example, it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm trying to do something that, in a fleshly manner, I'm trying to get off drugs, so I go to AA. That's a fleshly thing. So I think to myself, if I go to AA and get myself clean off of drugs and alcohol, then I can get a nice little 90-day clean token, and we can celebrate that I've been off drugs and alcohol for 90 days. So I think I think to myself, I'm clean. But the Bible says that we're unclean because of sin. Sin is what makes us unclean. So I can get off drugs and alcohol all I want to and still be filthy before God. Because it's only through the blood of Christ can I be made clean. And so those are the things that I talk about when it comes to resolutions. I want to lose weight. Yeah, but to lose weight, you have to put in the effort and the work and all the things and the challenges to lose the weight and this and that. And sometimes partly, okay, it's great to lose weight. That's a good thing. It's healthy. But sometimes we have arterial motives for losing weight. I just don't want to be picked on no more. I feel ugly because people thinner seem to be more approved by my peers or coworkers. So our motives can be sometimes altered and faulty. You know, and so if you don't accept yourself who you are, knowing that you're made in the image and after the likeness of God, then losing weight ain't gonna help you. Because you're still gonna have low self esteem. You're still gonna be insecure within yourself and so many other things. And so resolutions have no real effect when it comes to your relationship with God, because it's your efforts trying to do something that God has already done through His Word. And that's why we stand on promises. That's why we need to be renewed in our mind. That's why we need to be revived by the Spirit of God and refreshed through this great salvation. And these are important truths to understand and know that this year, let's do it right. Let's do it according to God's Word and not according to traditions or man made up things and ideas. But we don't rest in the wisdom of man, but on the power of God.
That's right.
And that's important to know. Anybody else?
You got something? Anybody? You got a scripture that let's turn the mute off. Let's see. If there is anybody out there in
Log Talk Land,
I'm unmuting the lines now in case you would like to share a scripture. So you are unmuted.
Hello?
Can you
hear me?
Yes.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. I wanted to share my scripture.
Okay.
I was thinking about last year, and I really, what you guys were saying is really awesome. Just really hit across the home. And it just made me think about, I started this new devotion. And, you know, a lot of times we get so caught up in really wanting to do what God says, but we don't fit the proper amount of time in His Word. So I started meditating on Psalm 1 and looking at verse 3, I think. Yeah. He shall be, no, verse 2. Verse 4 through. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and His law He meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted in the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
Mm.
And we got to study and told on His word day and night, all the time.
Yep. That's the whole, that goes back to that water. If we think about it, the water of the Word is important because that's what helps us never be thirsty or never be hungry because we're filling ourselves up constantly so that when we're filled up and things happen, like Jesus in the wilderness, when he was in the wilderness for 40 days and the enemy came to him, what did he do? He gave him the Word. You know, so that's great.
And I think about too. The living water is refreshing.
Yeah.
You know, when you're thirsty in the perched dry land and you're going through some difficult situations, when God brings His Spirit and He brings His Word to us, it refreshes us. It gives us a new perspective on how we should see life. We should see life through His Word, through His eyes. And we should see people through His eyes. So if you're in hardships on jobs and you're always looking at the negative, what people are doing to you, how you're going through, Your circumstances might not change, but God will send his presence that you change in your circumstances so that you don't see the hardship of people picking on you, but you see it as an opportunity for growth. You see it as an opportunity to draw closer to God. And so those are the things that I love that scripture, because sometimes we wonder why we're in hardships. Some hardships come because of our disobedience. It comes because we're listening to ungodly counsel. It comes because we might be standing in the path of sinners. It comes because we might be sitting in the seat of the scornful, hanging with those that scoff at God and don't want to serve God, or we're not meditating on his word day and night. And that was one of the scriptures that I was going to bring out later on out of the book of Joshua. It's going to be very important that we learn to get renewed in our mind and refreshed and revived. And that's going to be important. The only way that can happen, that's if we're in his presence. Without being in his presence, none of it's possible. We only plugged up to a dry source that's going to fade out. And by next week, we dry and don't want to go back to church, mad at people and all that kind of stuff. But if we stay connected, plugged in, refreshed, revived, and renewed this year, we'll stay plugged into God. We'll stay abiding as a branch in the vine. Then we'll be able to produce the fruit and the things that God is looking for.
Amen. Anybody else have anything that they'd like to say?
Yes, I have a scripture coming out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen. What's that mean to you? What you get out of that?
So what I learned is one, you've been born again spiritually. So you're not the same as you were 5 years ago or ever many years ago. You know, once you decided to give your life up to Christ and you repent and get baptized in Jesus' name, and spiritually you will be born again. Your eyes will be open to see things that you never could have imagined. That's the God's power only.
Hi, the scripture is very large. Luke 15, verse 19. And it says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lying and left here every day. At his gate was a lame beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came to lick his sores. And the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. But when the rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So we called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of my tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, that I am in agony and in fire. That's what some of us do, like in a homeless.
Yeah.
You don't know if they could be angels or anything. You just kick them off to the side of the curb and then just be like, I don't want to touch you because you're nasty or you're disgusted or something. And that's why we should help each other. Because God said, love one another like he would love you. So if you want to be loved by God, you should help other people.
How is that key? How are you going to use that in the new year?
I help other people more than we should. Help elderly and other people to help them do their groceries or like help them clean their yard.
Okay.
What I want to say is that I want to pick kind of up what David said. And, like, so we're supposed to help people. We have to do one good deed a day. So, and God always says that do one good deed a day. But if you mess up on one deed, if you do a bad deed, you can come back the next day and do a good deed, and then there's that might cover up for it. But yeah, I was just thinking off what he said. So.
He's going to help you a little bit with that.
Yeah. Our deeds can't cover our sins. Only the blood of Christ can, and that's important. A lot of people do live like that. They think if I do enough good deeds to cover the bad deeds that I've done in my life. And that's why, again, that's what resolutions do.
Yeah.
Resolutions say if I do enough good deeds throughout the year, then all the bad deeds that I've done will be erased or be covered or be. A guy would look on and be like, okay, you did so much good, then I'm not going to judge you for your bad. The judgment only comes because we choose to reject the redemption that Christ already paid for us. The deeds that he did on that cross was sufficient for every deed of every human person. We are all truly forgiven by grace. But if we don't accept that truth, if we don't accept the good news of his forgiveness and his redemption, through the message of the cross, then we're living in vain. And that's what Ecclesiastes really brings out. Vanity, all of this vanity when we choose not to fear God and keep his commandments. But it was good in bringing out that let this year be a year where you don't pass by a homeless person.
Mm-hmm.
You don't not help your neighbor or your cousin or your brother or sister when they have a need. Not enabling people to continue in their wrong, but to do a genuine act of love towards your neighbor, towards your brother, towards your cousin, towards your grandmother, towards your co-worker, whatever it may be, because we are created in Christ for good works.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're made of. We're made to do good in Christ. Christ, you're gonna do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's important that our good deeds can't cover our bad deeds. It's only through full repentance and through the blood of Jesus Christ can we truly being washed away and cleansed from it.
Mm-hmm. You got something, Hannah?
I got a scripture to say. And it's 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is in the creation. So only as God the new has come. Yes, so.
Jesus Christ and has given us the mighty
ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So in other words, especially as leaders, we cannot look at our congregational members or the members of a church and see them as evildoers. You can't always pick out and point out sin. Because why? Christ paid for that sin, first and foremost. If they're bluntly doing something crazy, of course you have to correct it. But we don't presume to believe that someone is in sin if they have not produced it. You can't go on and say, well, y'all know everybody lied and cheat and steal. Y'all know how black folks is and all that kind of stuff. Talk. That's real talk. You don't talk like that. Because why? We are all made in his image and after his likeness. We're all reconciled through his death. And he said, made it clear. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing the trespasses to us. Our trespasses are not bestowed or put upon us because why? We've been reconciled. And as believers in Christ, it's important. We don't sit around judging each other and throwing stones at each other. And if we do have a fault, if we do fall in sin, it's our responsibility is to bring reconciliation, not condemnation, not criticism, but restoring a brother or sister Christ back to the mark of which God has called us to walk with. And these are important truths to understand. We are new creatures in Christ. We don't look at each other as sinners. We look at each other as born-again, baptized believers in Christ, full of the Holy Ghost. That's why love believes with all things. We trust that God is living inside that person. And if they produce something opposite, then that's when correction or rebuke or admonishing come in. So we don't start off stoning each other. That's going to be so important to learn this year. Get our minds renewed and refreshed. And we don't look at each other as sinners, but we look at each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's going to be important.
Think about something that you Pastor Deacon said, it's important that we don't constantly look at each other's faults. If we can encourage each other, a lot of times encouragement brings healing. So whatever it is we might be going through, whatever things that might be going on in our lives, a smile or a hug or a phone call goes a long way. It really does. And that's a part of us encouraging each other and not focusing on all the negative things. And, you know, yeah, we might mess up. That's a part of our walk. We might mess up. We might trip. But we get back up. We encourage each other. The Bible says that if we see a brother or a sister fall or stumble, what is our job? Our job is to help them back up and to walk alongside of them. Not to kick them in the side or kick them while they're down. That's not our job. Our job is to say, hey, come on, brother, let me hold your arm. Let's go shoulder to shoulder. Come on, sis, let's go shoulder to shoulder. I don't mind walking with you a little bit. Come on, let's pray. Hey, let me give you a big hug. There's this lady, her name is Sister Rhoda. I think that's what her name is. She is the sweetest person. And it's always funny because God always sends her at the right time. She'll give you the biggest hug and a big old kiss on the cheek. And I'll be like, Lord, you always know just when I need to have that little extra encouragement. God always knows. And that's how we have to have a keen ear here. You never know. You as children, you don't know when your friend might need a hug or might need, you know, hey, come on, let's go. We can do this. God's got you. You might be having a hard time in school, but hey, maybe next time you just need to be a little more quiet. Maybe next time you just don't need to say anything. Next time just tell your mom or tell the teacher. That's what we need to do. Through love and kindness, the Bible says, have we drawn each other? Has he drawn us through love and kindness? We can't draw people with hatred. We can't draw people with stones. When David threw that stone to Goliath and it hit him smack down in the forehead, he fell flat on his face. We don't need no stone throwers. The Bible says that Jesus got down in the sand and started writing, and he said, he that without sin cast the first stone. So the Bible says we ought to be ministers of reconciliation. That's our job. Our job is to be ministers of reconciliation, not ministers of pointation, pointing out everything. When the Lord puts something in my heart, I go and talk to him. That's how it got to be, because we love each other.
And the Bible talks about that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it.
That's right.
That's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to convict us of sin. That's one of the things that he does. So I don't need to go to you and tell you that your dress is too short. If you watch long enough, come, hear the word of God, get into the presence, you really get sincere about your life with God, all that stuff will fall off anyway. You know, coming in drunk and high and all that stuff will fall off because you're sincerely coming to Christ. He is the power of God unto salvation. He brings forth that message of that cross. It brings forth power. It brings forth deliverance. And then the love of God comes back and strengthens us and comforts us in a way that surpasses our understanding. So now we're learning how to build a relationship with God and each other so that we're not going back into the old patterns that we came out of. That's why this year is a year where we really, the scripture says it this way. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul talking, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you are called. Let this year be a year where you embrace God,
mm-hmm.
where you learn to embrace his love, you learn to embrace his word, you learn to receive your healings, your deliverances. This is a year in which you and I can cling to God and hold and abide in God without falling from God. You can't walk worthy in the vocation in which you're called. You and I every day have a commission as representatives and ambassadors for Christ. Renew your mind in those things, that you are representative of God, that you are a minister of reconciliation. It has nothing to do with a title, a pastor, a bishop, apostle, or the prophet, evangelist. None of those things has nothing to do with a minister of reconciliation. Because you and I have been reconciled to God. Once we become a disciple, we're going to make one. It's important. Let this year be that year that you live for Christ. For his name's sake, and be willing to forsake all others for him, even your own life. This is going to be important for this year. Start getting rooted and grounded in God's word and get to know God and Christ for yourself. Get a solid prayer life. Get hooked up around strong believers where you can grow and we all can grow together. We said iron sharpens iron.
That's right.
Even for our youth, they need to get busy.
That's right.
Evangelism, street ministry, all kinds of things. Don't put the kids on the street. That's what it needs to be. Preaching the gospel, living it out, sharing it with other youth, being bold for their faith in Christ.
Right.
These are things that we need to teach and continue to teach and live by this year.
I'm gonna open up the lines again to see if anyone would like to add anything. We want to give you this opportunity if there's a scripture you'd like to share, if there's something that you'd like to add, we want to give you that opportunity. Does anyone on the line like to say anything?
Oh, I'll speak at once.
Yeah, don't all speak at once. I have everybody off of mute, so we can hear you, unless you've muted yourself. Anyone else want to add anything? Yes, Joshua. You're still unmuted.
Another thing y'all do is that's the thing is if you haven't forgiven someone, you can forgive someone.
Very good.
Is that what you're going to work on? That's your key? Okay.
In Colossians 3:13, it says, just as Noah has forgiven you, so you must also forgive.
Very good.
We'll work on forgiving others.
That's very good.
And that's, in fact, that is one of the key starts of this year, forgiving those that have done us harm, offended us, done us wrong, cussed us out, dragged us in the mud, treated us wrong when we were kids, whatever. This is the year in which we can forgive and release others just as Christ has forgiven us. This is going to be an important year for growth. And forgiving and being forgiven is such a key. Because when you're forgiven much, you'll love much. And when you learn that you're forgiven for all your sins and all your mess, it shouldn't be hard to forgive another person of a sin or many sins that they've done against you.
Right.
God has forgiven you. You
right.
Have a parable about that. We'll share that for another time.
Amen. One last thing I was thinking about is really digging deeper into God's word. And there's no time like the present, not just because it's a new year, but just because it's today. Digging deeper into the word of God and really, really, you know, you can never get enough word. You can never get enough prayer. You can never get enough communication. You know, I was blessed. My grandfather passed away in December, and I was blessed with a prayer shawl. And that's special to me. And I was sitting today and yesterday, and I was telling the Lord, I said, you know, it's time for me to put the prayer shawl to use, you know. And I was blessed with that and one of his cross necklaces. And I just thought, you know, what legacy to leave behind. And that's something that I'm grateful for, you know. And God has given us tools. He's given us things. And he just waits for us to put them into practice. And there's no time like the present, not just because it's a new year, but it's a new day. And there is fresh anointing every day. I'm no more anointed than you are anointed. I don't care if you've been in it longer than I have or I've been in it longer than you have. We have the same God. We serve the same God. We have the same Holy Spirit who's the comforter of us all, that teaches us all man and all things. We have access to the same Jesus who goes to the same Father for us. He is our mediator. So that's one thing that God's really been dealing with me is just, you know, really digging deeper. I really want to get to know God on a whole other level. Not that I don't know him, but you can never get deep enough.
Yeah.
You can never know enough. Always learning. Always learning. I remember an older person telling me one time, she said, I will always be a student to the day I die because I'm always learning something. And that's true. To the day that you're on your last breath, you're always learning something. And so I want to encourage anyone who might be listening, all of you who are here with us tonight in this Bible study, is don't let today go past without being refreshed and without renewing your heart and your mind. You know, the Bible tells us to repent. We repent daily. It's a daily thing. This is a daily walk. Not just every once a year. No, it's a daily, every day. I wake up in the morning and thank you, Lord, for waking me up in the morning because he did promise us another breath.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's important. That's so important for us is that we really get that focus. And part of that, the focus, our focus needs to be right. You know, sometimes we take our glasses off and it's kind of blurry. You put them glasses on and it's like, I can see many, many. I can see trees and trees. And, you know, when you take them off, it's kind of blurry. You know, and God is our glasses and he helps us see the things that we couldn't see without him. He's like that pair of glasses. He's our extra eyes. He helps us see the things that we cannot see in ourselves. And, you know, that's just an encouragement, you know, that God has kept showing me is, you know, we have these tools and it's time to put them to use. We have gifts from the youth. I don't care if you're a 3-year-old. I don't care if you're 98 years old. We all have something to offer, every last one of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does anyone on the line have something they'd like to say?
Tonight.
Hello?
Yes, I'm sharing with y'all tonight. This Dean.
Oh, hi.
I've been listening in, and I really been really enjoying this time, and I just want to share a scripture going into the new year, and I wanted to go back to what y'all talked about making resolutions into the next year, and my view of that is that I don't think that's necessary either, and I just want to go to a scripture from Proverbs 3, starting at verse 5 to verse 10. And it reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possession and with the fruit, first fruit of all your increase. So your bond will be filled with plenty. Now that blessed me there to know that all I really need to do into the next year is just continue to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And everything that I need to do is to just trust him and continue to seek his face and go forward and acknowledge him at all times.
Yes.
Man, that's awesome. Anybody else want to share a scripture? Make this year that scripture.
Yeah.
If you can live, renew, refresh, and revive, then let that scripture be for you. So whenever you're dealing with any circumstances in your life throughout this year, go back to remember that scripture. And so if anyone else wants to share a scripture that they can gain for this year and stand upon and build upon, you're more than welcome to share. You're more than welcome to share, because that's how we grow.
Yeah.
Taking this year by faith.
Amen.
Taking this year by faith in his promises and his word. And so you can base your life upon God's word instead of basing your life upon your past. This is the year.
Mm-hmm.
And awesome. So if anybody else want to add a scripture, listen out in Long Talk Land, please share.
Because
mm-hmm. You never know, you might help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key to sharing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key to growth. And also, just before, as we close, I want to lift up co-worker of mine, Mrs. Mack, her son.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the real situation, but she wanted me to pray for him, and so she sent a little request. So I want to do that before we close out. But is one, anybody got something?
Anyone else have anything that's on the line?
Amen.
All right.
Well, I want to read this scripture. It's in Joshua 1:8. And you might be wondering why God keeps saying it this way, but we need to really hear what it's saying. Since this book of the law shall not depart from our mouth, but shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And if you can take anything throughout this Bible study, all the things that were said, know that the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. We don't have to walk in fear, because he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. But he says, be strong and be in of good courage, not discouraged. You don't have to be discouraged this year. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through this year, you don't have to be discouraged, but you can take courage and stand boldly in your faith in Christ. And you can make your way prosperous when we take God's word and meditate. Meditation is saying this, that you're actually going to apply what you're learning. So what does a man read in a book and you don't go back and meditate on it? Then that means you just read it and you just read a good novel and hey, praise God. But if you're going to meditate, that means you're going to actually get it planted within your spirit, within your soul, within your heart. And that's what the Bible says, hide the word in my heart that I would not sin against you. This is what meditation does. It gives you a place to chew on it over and over and over, running over in your mind till it becomes a reality, till it becomes the final authority on how you live. So meditate on God's word this year. Let it be something so serious that it's a lifeline between breathing and not breathing. Be, take it that serious for this year. This is going to be an important year for our growth in our commitment to God. Amen.
Amen. So as we pray or get ready to close out, we want to remember a few people. We want to remember those who are struggling with influenza and different diseases such as cancer and different things. We want to pray healing over people's bodies. We want to pray for Miss Mac's son. What is his name? Tony? We want you to ask you to pray for Tony Jackson and pray for people who are in school and have tests and different exams and whatnot, and just keep each other up in prayer as we go into this new year for strength and wisdom, and let's not let our gifts go to waste that God has given us. Don't let them lay dormant. Don't let them collect dust on the shelf. You know, we need to go about and do the Father's business. And then after we pray, we have a few announcements.
Heavenly Father, we just truly thank you for this time together in your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit teaching us and guiding us in your word today. We thank you for using each and every one that have listened, that have called in, that have spoken. We thank that you would replenish them a hundredfold, Lord. And Father, we lift up those who are on their bed of affliction. We're praying for those that's in the hospitals, those with flu symptoms and different calamities that's going on in our life. We're praying for your divine hand, your right hand to go forth in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you would resurrect up those who are sick, Lord, that you would bind every spiritual sickness, every
yes.
physical sickness right now in the name of Jesus. And you said by faith that you have paid for it at the cross, Lord. And we thank you that by your stripes,
yes.
we are healed. And only through that name alone are we made whole in Jesus' name. And Father, those that are struggling with financial burdens,
yes.
those that are struggling with their children, those that are going astray and struggling with their faith, we're praying restoration and reconciliation
yes,
right
Lord,
now.
Yes.
That the hearts will find a place of repentance. This is what you desire.
Yes,
a broken
Lord.
Spirit and a contrite heart. And we're praying right now that those who have fallen away, going astray, backslide, that they would have a repentant and contrite heart today, and that they would cling to you like never before, that they would cling to you like it's their last breath on earth, Lord.
Yes.
Do it for your glory because you're
Lord.
Able. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for those that have been feeling lonely, those that have been feeling like ain't nobody supporting them, that there's no help. Father, you are very present help right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you, we praise you, we magnify you. Hear the cries of your people. Hear the silent mourn, oh God, for what an awesome God you are. And we know by faith, because you hear our cry, Lord, as far as the east is from our, from the west, our sins are forgiven, our sins are washed away,
yes.
our sins are at peace with you, because only what you did at the cross. And so we give you all the praise, the honor,
yes.
and the glory. And we pray that this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We want to invite you back on the third Friday. We will be back here, and if you have youth, we want you to bring them on out. Second Saturday, every second Saturday is youth ministry. Fourth Saturday is evangelism, and Lord's will. In February, we'll be starting actual Sunday services. So keep us up in prayer as we're looking for a space. And we have our youth camp that's coming up in June and our mission trip in August. And God is doing great things, and we want you to be a part. If you're in the local area, you know, contact us, connect with us. We'd love to meet you, greet you, and fellowship with you. Every third Sunday is Fellowship Sunday at our house. All right, be blessed. WallaceMinistries.org, address is 115 Bend Drive. God bless.
God bless.
Goodbye.